Marcus Golden's a Steeler, and OTAs hit day two. We'll talk about the new linebacker, one of the new linebackers on the team, Landon Roberts, and George Pickens' goals and New Jersey numbers. All here on Locked On Steelers. It's your host, Chris Carter. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things of the Pittsburgh Steelers. As always, you can find this show on your favorite podcasting app and on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoyed on YouTube. Subscribe to this channel to get all of your daily Monday through Friday episodes on the Pittsburgh Steelers. As always, we try to bring you your team every day. We appreciate all of our everydayers here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Also, we are joined by Tony Serino, the man himself. He's back. Partner here and host on the show with me, Tony. It's great to have you, buddy.
Yeah, great to be back. It's been a while. I think it's been months, right, since I've been on the show.
Been. So
happy
people
to be
thought
back.
We were fighting.
No, behind the scenes. Yeah, Chris and I are just the only reason he brought me back today, everyone, is he saw me on Locked On or on AFC North Talk yesterday, and he just wants. There was a Matt Ryan situation yesterday on AFC North Talk.
No, there wasn't.
There was.
Anyways, that's for the deep cutters of old Locked On Steelers talk of assess. But let's get right to the big talk, and that's the Steelers getting their new edge rusher. That's Marcus Golden coming in from the Cardinals. We talked about this potential on the Wednesday episode with Jeff Hathorn. That was a good talk about the potential of this happening. Well, it's no longer potential. He has signed his deal. It's official. He's going to be a Pittsburgh Steeler. That's the third edge rusher here. We got our man Alex Clancy from Locked On Cardinals, who's covered Marcus Golden for several years. Here's his perspective on the kind of player the Pittsburgh Steelers are getting.
What I've seen from Marcus Golden during his time with the Arizona Cardinals since being drafted in the second round of the 2015 draft out of Missouri is a dictionary definition of a solid, level-headed, leader-infused football player. Marcus Golden makes other players around him better. Marcus Golden is an inherent leader. And sure, you can look at the 11 and a half sacks he had 2 years ago, and you could look at kind of the fall off that he had last season. But what the Pittsburgh Steelers are getting is a player who is going to infuse into their culture immediately. Partnering back up with Patrick Peterson, who he played with for the first 4 years of his career, Marcus Golden, while 32, still has plenty of juice left in the tank, still has plenty of I'm going to see quarterback and hit quarterback in him. And the Steelers got a low risk, high reward on the field and in the locker room player that will do nothing but benefit that culture, even though it's already one of the most stable in the NFL.
There's Alex Clancy with a pretty high endorsement there from Locked On Cardinals. Go check all his great stuff. He's one of our many great hosts here on the Locked On Podcast Network. But Tony, hearing that and what you've had time to look at Marcus Golden, is this the kind of edge rusher you wanted to back up TJ Watt and Alex Highsmith if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Absolutely. This is what the Steelers, really going back all the way to what Mark Ingram, Melvin Ingram, thank you. A couple years back, right? The Steelers have been looking for, really since Bud left, they've been looking for this style of kind of vet to come in, solid off the bench, but you're not, you know, he's not going to be an every down starter type player. When Alex talks there about, you know, that kind of vet leadership, the stable, level-headed type of player that Marcus Golden is, that's really, I think, what the Steelers are looking for. In addition to, and oh, by the way, this guy is capable of double-digit sack seasons like he's done multiple times in his career. I think this is a really, really good signing from Omar Khan. I know people talk about his fall off last year, you know, because he did go from 12 sacks to 4. One thing I will point out, I'm a pressure guy. I love pressure, the pressure numbers. His pressure numbers really didn't fall off. He went from 46 the year that he had 12 sacks to 46 last year. The number that fell off was sacks. Now, obviously, sacks are important. Sacks are better than pressures. You know, no one's going to argue that a pressure is better than a sack, but I do think pressures to me are a better indicator of a kind of a long-term stableness as a pass rusher. And I think the Steelers got a good one here in Marcus Golden, someone who, look, the Steelers have had some injury problems, obviously, with TJ at the edge rush position. Some stability at that third edge rush spot is exactly what the Steelers needed. And it sounds like that's what they got from Marcus Golden.
I agree. And also, when you look at like his contributions in the run game, he wasn't a slouch there either. According to Pro Football Focus, he had 21 stops last year on his record 20. And when you look at that and compare it to the Steelers, that would have put him right behind Larry Ogunjobi, who had 23, and he had the eighth most on the team. When you look at that from last year, and that adds as a third edge rusher, compare that to Malik Reed, who I think had 11. That's a lot more contributions that you're getting from a guy who's going to be, again, coming off your bench to help supplement what TJ Watt and Alex Highsmith bring. And it also puts you in a position where you don't need Nick Herbig and or Quincy Roche to become a serious off the bench threat right away. They can kind of grow. Either one of them can grow, and one of them can win a position where they're the fourth option. And then you have an actual maybe four, even five guys that you can call upon, keep guys fresh. And then you come to the fourth quarter when it's crunch time, it's TJ and Alex doing their thing, and they're not gassed from playing 90% of the snaps.
Exactly. No, I think that part of this, we talked about this on the defensive line in the past with Cam, right? You know, the fact that, in fact, going back to even when it was Cam and to it, you know, there was all this talk of wanting to add depth because, boy, you know, you don't want these guys, not just at the end of games, but at the end of seasons too. You know, when we talk about this Steeler team this year, I think there really are playoff aspirations. When you're talking about playoff aspirations, you want guys who are going to be healthy and fresh, or as fresh as they can be down the stretch of the season. And so, you know, I'm not saying this is a load management situation by any stretch, but you know, to your point, having that third guy off the bench, that's not a rookie. You know, there was this talk of, okay, Nick Herbig can come in and be a third edge rusher because he had some nice tape at Wisconsin and whatnot. But this team, you know, with the aspirations they have right now and what they want to be, especially defensively, really need a stabilizing force as the third edge rusher. If Nick Herbig comes in and provides some solid minutes, that's a plus at this point. And that's, I think, where this team wants to be. If a rookie can come in and contribute, that's a plus. What they have now is a veteran who I think we all have solid expectation where he will be able to come in and provide solid minutes as a specialty pass rusher. And like you said, in run defense as well.
Yeah, I agree. And again, you're not looking for a guy to take over games, but a guy who could come in and give you that extra boost and those extra solid minutes, so you're not lacking when you put guys out there. I mean, when Malik Reed was out there, there were times that he was letting up kind of big plays or not bringing pressure or giving up in his edge of the run game. That's not going to happen as often with Marcus Golden. At least that's what we look at when we look at the tape right now. And again, he's 32 years old, but like Alex said, this isn't a guy who's, you know, not bringing it anymore. This is a guy who still has gas in the tank. It's a one-year deal. We haven't seen the finances on it, but I can't imagine it's that expensive. I think the Steelers bringing him in is a good sign that they're still willing to make moves. And you have to wonder if they're willing to make a move here, will they be willing to make a move at linebacker as well, as far as off-ball linebackers, where they brought in Quan Alexander? Nothing came of that, but maybe there's something in the works there. I'll get Tony's thoughts on that. And we talked to Landon Roberts, one of the new linebackers that they've signed. We'll get word from him on the show in just a minute here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. So stick with us right here. We'll get to that in just a minute. But first, before we do any of that, I want to talk to you guys about our great sponsors at FanDuel Sportsbook. This show is sponsored by FanDuel Sportsbook, the number one sportsbook in America. And with the NBA playoffs going on right now, it's your chance to make some money on some great action going on in basketball. And then that's with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. If you're new to FanDuel, when you sign up, you can get the no sweat first bet, which gives you up to $1,000 back in bonus bets. Just go to FanDuel.com/lockedon to sign up today, and you can claim your no sweat first bet. Bet on how many three-pointers that Jimmy Butler might make, bet on how many points Nikola Jokic might make, bet on who's going to win it all, bet on anything you want on FanDuel Sportsbook, an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Don't miss your shot at the no sweat first bet up to $1,000 when you join FanDuel today. Go to FanDuel.com/lockedon to sign up. Make every moment more with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Tony Serino of AFC North Talk on the show. Tony, before we go anywhere, I want to remind everyone, if you have anything you can or any time that you can, please donate to the charity that we're working with over the next several months. That's the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. I have a campaign that I've launched where we're trying to raise money to help them raise money to fight to find a cure for cystic fibrosis, a disease and a condition that impacts tens of thousands of Americans every year. If you want to contribute, use the QR code that's on screen if you're watching on YouTube, or click on the link in the description of this podcast to go and donate. Anything you do can help. And if you donate at least $10 and you call in a question to 412-223-6644, you'll get your call guaranteed to be heard on the show within a week of your call. Not everyone gets that because we have a lot of callers, and sometimes we just don't have the time to fit those calls into our content like today. But want to get to something else here, Tony. Before I get to what Landon Roberts said when we were talking to him today, because he had a few interesting things to say. Is this now the last priority? Is just find a third off-ball linebacker? They've got Cole Holcomb. He's dealing with some injury stuff right now, but they brought in the Landon Roberts. They still have Mark Robinson. But is that the last thing that the Steelers really need to worry about, is getting that third guy out there? Because both, let's say Holcomb and Roberts are healthy for the season, they're the only two proven veterans at that spot right now, unless you were to move. Not even unless. If Nick Herbig moves there, he's still a rookie. There's still a lot of things that you could do there, but still no one else proven on the roster who could play those positions.
No, I mean, Mark Robinson had a couple games good last moments. Year. He had some moments. Thank you. He had some moments last year, but not someone who you want to count on. Yeah, I mean, I think that, and I still think nickel corner, right, slot corner, is potentially, although, I mean, you know, I know they got the kid from Minnesota and they probably think highly of Duke Dawson. So we'll see what happens there. I think third inside linebacker, more than third inside linebacker, you know, Tomlin talks all the time about, you know, the evolution of defense, and it was before it was like position flexibility and all that. And now he's talking more about like the specialty type players. I think a specialty linebacker who can be really good in pass defense is still something this team probably lacks, right? You know, Landon Roberts comes in and is your kind of thumper type in the run game. Cole Holcomb has the makeup of someone who could be a very good, who could be a good coverage linebacker, but the numbers just aren't there. I mean, if you look at Cole Holcomb and what he's done in the past, and as a coverage linebacker, you know, I think he has a career like 80% completion percentage against, over 100 passer rating against. So, you know, that to me is where I really worry, is when this team gets into those obvious passing downs, do they trust Cole Holcomb over the middle of the field? And is there someone that they can bring in who they might trust more in that situation? I think that's probably why, you know, potentially they bring in a guy like Quan Alexander, who's been around for a while. I think that is one of the big holes still left on this roster.
Yeah, I do think that is one of the things there. But let's talk about some of the guys who are there right now. And one of them is Landon Roberts, who they picked up from the Dolphins. He also played some time with the Patriots. He's a guy who's played off-ball linebacker and been a captain for the Dolphins, who's kind of earned his stripes as a leader. We asked him a little bit about communication and what's going to need to be done at the off-ball linebacker position. Here's a Landon Roberts on Wednesday from the Steelers locker room talking about some of those responsibilities after OTA's practice.
I think it's very important to have understanding as a total defense, but extremely think it's important to have it as a Mike linebacker. Have it from your free safety and your nickel and your other linebacker next to you, and like one of your D linemen, and all that just gotta conjoin together. Like it's a big thing that go unnoticed, you know, because I mean you can be a green dot, you can just be a guy, like I said, without a green dot. All that communication matters. Without communication, it won't work. I mean, you take it from a marriage. If you don't have communication in your marriage, it ain't gonna work. So this is like a marriage out here. You just married to 10 other people, you know. And you just got to make it work. And it starts with communication. 10 a lot of people. We go back to like the old days.
It sounds incredibly difficult.
They was married to everybody.
Well, there's a Landon Roberts talking about that. And I think that this embodies a little bit of what's going to be important for him and Cole Holcomb beyond their ability to cover and just be able to. I think it's the biggest thing is communicating. Be in the right spots. Not giving up the gaps in the defense and making sure that they're in the right spots to support the rest of the defense. Because let's face it, and we've talked about this, there's a lot of I think, high hopes for almost every part of this defense. You look at corner with Patrick Peterson, Levi Wallace was solid last year, and you're hoping Joey Porter Jr. at outside plays. You look at safety, you're excited about Minkah Fitzpatrick being, you know, being the best safety in football. DeMonte KZ was really solid last year, and you get a guy in Keanu O'Neal, maybe he fits in there well. Defensive line, edge rusher, you're happy about all of those positions right there. The one spot in this defense, you can also pull in the slot here, is those that intermediate coverage area where you got the off-ball linebacker in the slot corner who might be put in some tough situations. But the best way, if you don't have the athletes or the playmakers at that position, the best thing I think you can ask of people in those positions, Tony, is to be in communication, be really solid in your details, and just making sure that you're not the reason that a big play is being given up. And I think if that's what they're getting out of these guys, that might be enough to kind of just hold the rest of the defense together so that the rest of the playmakers can be the X factors that win them games.
Yeah, I guess the question becomes, does that how quickly does it take to get to that place, right? Mike Tomlin preaches a lot about continuity, and when he talks about, you know, when you hear him in his pregame press conference, he's talking about a team. He will talk about certain aspects of their team and what he loves to harp on is like the great continuity that a team will have, meaning that these players have been around, that they've worked together. I think it's something not only with his line, I mean, it's going to be big for this linebacking corps because they switched out the entire room. We talked about it, right? Mark Robinson is the most veteran linebacker on this team right now, and he's going into his second season. So it's certainly going to be big for Holcomb and Roberts to work together, to be great communicators, to communicate not just with each other, but with the rest of the defense, if one of them is going to be the play caller. But you go around the entire defense. I mean, I don't think it's unique to the inside linebacker position because potentially within that secondary, you're talking about 2, 3, maybe 4 new starters. And we're talking about this team in sub-package football. You're going to talk about probably one new starter on that defensive line when this team is in base. So this is going to be – yeah, that's the thing with this defense is I think we all have – Steelers fans have really, really high hopes for what this team can be because of the talent that was brought in. But defense is so much about continuity, like you talked about trusting the guy next to you. And, I mean, you can go through position by position group. Really, only edge rusher is the one where there's no new starters at the position. Every other group, D-line,
good point,
linebacker, and corner and safety all have new starters on this team. And so how long does it take for this team? Is it 2 weeks, 4 weeks, is it 8 weeks before this team really gets that continuity to start playing at a really high level?
It's a good question. And I think it's going to be one that could put this team, you know, to the test early on in the season with those guys. And I think it does help to have the key pieces still there, like, you know, yeah, TJ Watt, Minkah Fitzpatrick, Cam Hayward, and even like Alex Highsmith, Larry Ogunjobi, and guys like that. Those guys, I think, can hold down the fort from what was kind of the key elements of the Steelers last year. But you're right. I mean, Cam Sutton was a huge part of what made the cornerbacks solid for the Steelers as they led the NFL in interceptions. And Patrick Peterson, could he fill in? Sure, he could. But him doing it and getting on the same page with everyone, that's going to be a challenge, and that's going to be something that we continue to see. And that's why I think it was really interesting for Landon Roberts to talk about that and say, yeah, these are the expectations. These are what we're trying to do here as far as what's going to be coming from the linebackers. I think that was really great to talk about there. I want to talk a little bit about the offense though in the show too. And we also caught up with George Pickens. He talked about a little bit about how things are a little bit different this year with Kenny Pickett and also some personal goals for himself. We'll get to that. And I know there's a lot of people out there, if you don't know about Tony's special skill, this is the best man at judging who picked the right jersey numbers for their future. We'll get all that and more here in the next segment of the Locked On Steelers podcast. Stick with us. We'll be right back. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Tony Serino of AFC North Talk. Tony, George Pickens is, I think, one of the more exciting young parts of this team, along with Kenny Pickett. People are wondering if he can make a sophomore leap here, and we talked to him a little bit about what he did in the offseason, what's different here. Here's a quick clip of me talking to George Pickens in the Steelers locker room on Wednesday after the second day of OTAs.
Probably the same as last year. He had a good mindset last year. It's just, you know, you can't, some stuff you can't control. And now he got the same mindset that I seen last year before he got hurt.
What are your goals this year as far as numbers-wise? Any numbers in your head that you want to get out?
I want to get over 1,000, and I want to go to the Pro Bowl. I want us to win the Super Bowl, a whole bunch of other.
Well, there you have George Pickens just real quick talking about getting 1,000 yards, getting the Pro Bowl, and winning the Super Bowl. And he says he has other goals. The first person he was talking about at first was Kenny Pickett. I asked him if he was the same guy, and he said a little bit. You know, you saw his answer there, and he said, "Yeah, there were some injuries there, but you know, there's parts of it the same, and there's parts of it that's a little different. There's some leadership aspects." Before that, he had talked also about the chemistry and how it had been improving from some of the practices they'd done. But Tony,
yeah,
1,000 yards. Pro Bowl wide receiver, so you're assuming at least maybe like 8 touchdowns or so. Are these realistic expectations for George Pickens, considering how limited this receiver production has been over the past few years for the Steelers?
I think it. I mean, I think 1,000 yards for George Pickens, I don't think is that crazy. He had 800 a year ago, you know, and he dealt with obviously early on in the year, right? There was that kind of when are they going to start getting George Pickens the football? There are those kind of question marks early on in the year. I don't think he really had his first breakout game until week three, right? That was the one where he had the catch against Cleveland. So he dealt with, you know, quarterbacks switching back and forth, whether when it came to Trubisky getting injured and then, or Trubisky getting benched, then Kenny getting injured and going back to Trubisky and whatnot. So stability at the quarterback position, being able to work with Kenny for an entire offseason now, and those two getting on. I mean, they had kind of natural chemistry last year. You know, just the George Pickens back shoulder fade was a staple of last season. So I think 1,000 yards is well within the mark. Now the touchdown number, I mean, I think that's the goal for this entire offense, right? I mean, he needs to get into closer to double digit touchdowns. You know, Deontay needs to improve his number as well from last season, given that he didn't have a touchdown last year.
Yeah.
But no, I think what Pickens talked about there as far as his goals for the season are well within reach, I think.
I think they're well within reach. But again, the Pro Bowl is going to come with also making big plays and scoring big points. And I think that that's going to be a significant challenge for George Pickens and this offense to show, hey, they're making steps forward. But as we talked about with Jeff Hathorn in the Wednesday episode, this is something that I think the Steelers have been looking forward to. Kenny Pickett's made steps. He said, you know, last year they were only installing 1-2 things every day. Now they're installing 5 or 6 plays a day at this point. He said he even went back to study how they handled OTAs at this time last year. So I really emphasize that, like, I do think that there are legitimate better goals ahead for the Steelers offense this year. And there's reasons to expect them to meet those goals as well, because I think, or at least put them in a position where you're not going to be looking at the offense like, are they going to even score 20 points this game? Because there's been several points like that over the past 2 years and even 3 out of the last 4 years where the offense has just been not all that. So all that to say, I think that the offense, that there's always across the board, there's more and more reasons to like what the offense could do this year.
Yeah, there's a ton of potential here. I mean, there's a ton of raw talent to be had here. You know, when you look at Kenny and Najee and Deontay and Pickens and Freiermuth, I mean, all of these guys have showed out at different points in their career. Can they all put it together? And I think the big thing, you touched on the big plays there. Yeah, this is the big thing, I think, with Pickens. You know, we think about his 50-50 ball ability, right? His ability to win in those combat situations. But he only had 100 yards of yak last year. You know, when you talk about 800 yards and only 100 yards of that is yak, I mean, that is not good.
Well, what's funny is the part that I couldn't get into this interview as well, which I did ask him. I asked the first thing he wanted to prove. The first thing he said was yak. The only thing I couldn't get in there was because StreamYard has some certain limitations on how long you can make a video. But the first thing he said was, I worked to improve my yak. He talked about running with parachutes and improving there. So he knows that was something he needs to improve. And I think it's a good sign that he's working on that.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I think, and it's not just a problem with Pickens. I mean, I think it was a problem with the entire Steeler team overall, but obviously he was, you know, he was the worst of this. I mean, you know, talk about Pat Freiermuth, who had a similar number of catches to him, but had 300 yards of yak versus his 100. You know, that's glaring, but it comes from a couple of things. I mean, look, Pickens, the real knock on George Pickens to this point is that he's not getting open like a receiver of his caliber, right? You think of him as being this young receiver on the ascent. He's really making 50-50 ball catches because he's not getting the kind of separation that other guys do. I think it's 538 that does the like open score stat. George Pickens ranks as one of the worst receivers at getting open. Now, again, you know, he's a rookie. This is, you know, he's got to improve in his route running. And that, you know, this will come with time. So, you know, I'm not trying to say like George Pickens is who he is and will never be a good route runner and never get open. But that's, I think, good. If he gets open, obviously he will improve in yak naturally. So, you know, that's something to look for in 2023.
No, I agree there. So lots of things to look forward to there. But now let's switch topics once more to a classic part of the Locked On Steelers podcast. Back to when Tony was hosting it by himself, and then when I was joined on, we always did this thing where Tony has his own personal opinions about guys getting numbers. But I wanted to spoil the party here a little bit. Tony, you seemed very excited about the numbers that were picked here as far as jersey numbers for the Steelers. This is just for our fans who love to have a little bit of fun here. Give me a rundown of your thoughts on different players. We're going to start with the first-round pick, Broderick Jones, getting number 77.
77 is a tap. Everyone knows. Look, the 60s. Okay. When we do offensive line numbers, 50s are for the centers, 60s are for guards, and 70s are for tackles. Okay.
Where do these rules come from?
These are just like, I don't know where they come from, but everybody knows these are the rules. You know what I'm saying? So this is a perfect number. And, you know, and again, you'd think about what happened to Dan Moore and why has Dan Moore kind of plateaued at this point in his career, and he's on the chopping block.
He's got 65.
You had to overcome. You know, the thing about players are you give them a great number and it's a look good, feel good situation. Or we've talked about Minka in the past, right? One of the things that makes Minka Fitzpatrick so great is that he overcame what is a really bad number. I mean, 39.
You said from the jump, like I mean,
39 is a horrific number to give Minka Fitzpatrick. And what makes him so good is that he's overcome it. You know, Marlon Humphrey in Baltimore, 44. I mean, 40. Think about 44. One of the best corners in the league, given 44, and he's overcome that. I mean, this is what makes great players great. So Broderick, you know, the Steelers are giving him kind of the easy road here, but that's good because he's got a lot of learning to do. We've talked about how raw a prospect he is coming in. And so, you know, I don't want to give him a mountain to climb here by giving him like, you know, 51 or something as a left tackle. Give him 77, quality, great tackle number. Well done, Omar Khan and the jersey department that decides what your number is going to be. So well done to them as well.
I guess Joey Porter Jr. The equipment manager, Joey Porter Jr. getting 24, Ike Taylor's old number.
Yeah, terrific. And you know, getting Ike Taylor's blessing as well. You know, this is, again, look, what was the last top high corner that they took was what? Justin Lane, right? They took Justin Lane.
Sure, yeah.
And they had the opportunity to give him 24, and they didn't. They gave it to Benny Snell, and they gave him 31. They gave 31, which is a running back number, to the corner, and they gave the corner, or they gave the running back the corner number, okay? Now, once again, and I'm not saying that Omar Khan is better.
This was the problem, actual skills.
Well, you know, you can argue that skill was a problem as well, but, you know, one thing leads to another. This is a trickle-down effect, Chris, okay? So, you know, and again, I'm not trying to say that Omar Khan is a better general manager as, you know, than Kevin Colbert, but, you know, he understands this kind of thing, right? And he gave...
It's not the draft picks, it's not the signings, it's because he knew what numbers to give these guys.
Right, it's all a kind of process, you know? It's Omar, you got to give him credit for the process here. So, fantastic number for Joey Porter Jr.
Benton at 95 and Washington at 80.
You can't give... I know people wanted him to have a single digit number. I'm talking about Washington. You want it to be zero. Sorry. Steelers are not a single digit team. Can't do that. Keanu Benton. Is there another good 95 in Steeler history? Oh yeah. Greg Lloyd. Yeah. Good number. Good number for Keanu Benton.
But should that be an edge rusher number then?
It, you know, you can make an argument, but here's what I'll say about that. The last edge rusher to get 95, not ideal. So we're going to move it inside. We're going to try it as a D lineman. You know, we'll make it work that way.
My goodness. All right. Nick Herbig's 51. I think my bigger question, though, Patrick Peterson getting 20.
Fantastic. It's a great number. I mean, you know, 21, I think, is the 21 is probably the best number you can get as a corner. He didn't get that. He got 20, but 20 is like right up there. You're 20, 24, 21, 26, but we don't give out 26 to corners anymore. That would be blasphemy. So, 27 is a good. Now 27 is a safety number, but anyway, continue. And Nick Herbig has 51. You're probably moving. I mean, that signals to me. I know they're not saying they're doing this, but they're moving him to inside. That's an inside linebacker number. They don't want to admit it that he's going to go to inside, but he's too small. You know, this is a what's the kid from Northern Illinois from a couple years ago that they tried to make as Sutton or something like that. Damn. Anyway, he was too small. Nick Herbig probably too small. They're kicking him inside. Anyway,
you have so many. This is Yeah. I don't even know how you get some of these, man. Like some of these...
This is like a lightning round, Chris. Okay, my brain is going at 1,000 miles an hour right now.
Apparently, man, you got to be on some crazy monster Red Bull coffee. I don't know what the heck's going on. Okay. Landon Roberts at 50 and Cole Holcomb at 55.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, Omar Khan didn't want to just have two good inside linebackers. He's trying to like set himself up for, you know, all time great Steeler inside linebackers. Holcomb at 50. Larry Foote, decent. And then Joey Porter at 55. Another good number there. So
we actually even asked Landon Roberts about Ryan Shazier, and he said he actually spoke with Ryan Shazier. I was going to say, you're just talking
about Larry Foote, you know.
Yeah, like, I was just like,
Ryan Shazier was good too. Yes.
but he actually spoke to Ryan Shazier, and they had talked a little bit about him coming to the Steelers and things about that. So, like, there's even a relationship there already. So, some little bit of a good vibes here. So it looks like across the board, you're pretty happy with the Steelers. Is this the sign that things are changing here for the Steelers, and maybe they start going on some runs soon?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Steelers win the Super Bowl within the next 3 years. I'm like, you know, Babe Ruth, you know, within 3 years, the Steelers are winning the Super Bowl. And I can't wait too, because my co-hosts on AFC North Talk have no idea what's in store for them. They are still living in this fantasy world where like Kenny Pickett's going to end up being Nate Peterman. I'm enjoying every minute of their, you know, them doubting the Steelers once again. We're in the offseason, so this is when the delusion starts of like, this is the year the Steelers are bad. But I'm here to tell you, Chris, Omar Khan nailed this offseason. And I don't just mean that from, like you said, I don't mean that from a drafty right. signing situation. I mean the numbers that they gave out set this team up for success. Thank you, Omar. Hashtag thank you, Omar.
Thank you. I thought you were going to go with like the con artist or all the things. No, thank you, Omar. That's what yours.
Yeah, because now I'm going to search for a hashtag thank you, Omar tomorrow on Twitter. You know, a little bit of a vanity search, but you know, we'll see what happens.
see if it's popping out. Thank you, Omar. Is coming from Tony Cirino. He's Tony Cirino. He's a former host with me here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. For all those who are longtime listeners, we appreciate y'all, and I hope that you enjoyed us doing another one of these shows. Tony, let people know they can find you, follow you, get more of your work.
You can follow me on Twitter at Steeler Country, and you can find me on YouTube. AFC North Talk is a roundtable show all about the AFC North. I represent the Pittsburgh Steelers on that show, and we are going through our position rankings right now. Next week, we are going to do wide receiver. And by the way, if you are a listener of AFC North Talk already, no one tell Chris where I ranked Najee Harris and the Pittsburgh Steelers at running back. Let's leave that. We don't need another Matt Ryan situation.
What did you do?
Sorry, you're breaking up.
What did you do?
Look, I'm a Jalen Warren guy. All right. Always have been, always will be. I'm a Jalen Warren. Jalen Warren is like my new Duck Hodges.
Cut his mic.
I have a hot take. Hot take.
You made me shake my AirPod out of my ear.
Jalen Warren, there's a 51% chance Jalen Warren is a starting running back for the Pittsburgh Steelers by the end of 2023. So anyway, thanks for having me on, Chris. We'll see you next week.
I'm coming to fight you over there all the way down in Florida. I hate your guts. Anyways, he's Tony Cirino. Do check him out on AFC North Talk. He does battle with three other hosts who cover the other AFC North teams, and he'd be giving it to him on some days. He's got a lot of great stuff there. That's why we love having you here. Thanks again, Tony, for joining us back here in the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Carter Critiques. You can read my work at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, post-gazette.com, for all of the content that we've produced there. You can also check out this show, the Locked On Steelers podcast, on your favorite podcasting app and on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoyed it. Subscribe to this YouTube channel to get all of your daily Monday through Friday episodes, as well as our bonus content, like the extra bonus episode we produced on when Marcus Golden was signed by the Pittsburgh Steelers as a brief episode there. So thank you for everyone for that. Also, again, donate to the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation campaign I have going with the QR code or the link in the description of this podcast. And if you want to help out this podcast further, go on Apple Podcasts, rate us 5 stars with a positive comment. You do both at the same time, and you get a shout out at the end of the show, like this person by who has the profile name Best Music App Ever. says Chris Carter, Steel City's finest, says gave us 5 stars and said, look forward to this podcast daily, especially before, during, and after the draft. Very deep understanding of the organization, players, and coaches. Always has good guests and co-hosts and very interesting discussion topics. Keep up the great work. Thank you very much, Best Music App Ever. We appreciate that. If you want your shout out, give us a 5-star review with a positive comment in your review. We'll get you on this. We'll get you a shout out on the show. Thanks again, everyone. Back on your screens with Jenna Harner for the Friday edition of the Locked On Steelers podcast as OTAs wrap up and we get you ready for the big weekend. We'll see you then right here on the Locked On Steelers podcast.